The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus said to his disciples, "Be watchful, be alert. You do not know when the time will come. It is like a man traveling abroad. He leaves home and places his servants in charge, each with his own work, and orders the gatekeeper to be on the watch. Watch, therefore. You do not know when the Lord of the house is coming, whether in the evening or at midnight or at cockcrow or in the morning. He may not come suddenly and find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to all, watch." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So there's a question I get every now and then from you. Sometimes I hear you guys asking each other the same question, and it's, when's the bishop going to move him? And so this kind of idea of, like, how long am I going to be here? That my life is not my own. I'm not in charge of where I get put, but just being where the Lord puts me. In this question, I myself think about every now and then. And the thing I keep coming up with is, I have no idea. I know not the day nor the hour. Because when the Lord moves, he does it in his own timing. And certainly as priest assignments work, there is a little bit of structure to it. And so maybe I can put some thoughts at ease. I shouldn't be going anywhere anytime soon. But at the end of the day, even that awareness that there is an end, there is a stopping point, how profoundly that shifts our awareness of the time we have. And that as a priest entrusted with this ministry, there's a time I have to give it back. I have to present it back. And it will be handed on to somebody else. And in some ways, it's like I want to hand, you know, a place that's can pay its bills, a place that is a kind of successful as a parish, whatever that means. But most importantly, to hand the next priest that comes here a holy people, a people that love the Lord. To me, this is the most important thing, that who we are as a community, that this is what makes this place special. But even in the big picture, it's like, well, when the Lord comes, well, it is a definitive moment, but stopping and remembering that fact, how it shifts, what is the priority while we're here and the tasks at hand, because we don't necessarily know when that moment is, like when is he going to come, and it is always in one of two ways, either he comes here or we go there. In either of those times, we are not in charge of. And so just with that fact of, like, okay, the Lord who loves me is going to show up at some point, and that preparing for that moment, and what does that look like? There's a kind of a theme for Advent, I think is very important, because this is a penitential season, like Lent, but also very different. And the theme I would say that comes up in so many ways is reminding ourselves of why we need a Savior. And I think this is a fundamental human existential question that we need to put our finger on, of why we need him to show up. And in some ways, we can kind of dismiss the ancient ways of, like, well, we need rain to fall on the crops, or we need some type of economic prosperity, or some kind of earthly resolve to a problem. It's like, well, may our soldiers win this battle that's coming up, or something like that. And it's very kind of this world problems that we're trying to get him to resolve. And not that the Lord is dispassionate to these things, but that there's a bigger picture. That there is, in some ways, the modern accusation that, well, we can take care of these things ourselves. It's like, okay, well, we don't necessarily need God to make vaccines for diseases. And that stopping and praying is at the expense of doing the work of investing in these things and developing, which is not true, but that's the argument. But then there still comes a deeper layer of the human condition that nothing in this world can touch, which is, say, the question of death. Like, there is a point where there is the end. And then what then? What can we do about it? What power do we have to overcome the problem of death? As much as we have developed technology to, say, alleviate hunger and disease, there's still the question of suffering. And that this is not something that's going to leave the human condition. In as much as we might strive to try and find answers and develop philosophies and ways of thinking about these things or structures and technologies to alleviate them, it still brings up the question. And that there is like the state that we can find ourselves in of like, why do I need the Lord to show up and what he does for us? Our first reading, Prophet Isaiah, I think has a very beautiful way of putting these problems into words. The first image he gives, Lord, why do you let us wander? Why do you let us wander? I don't know if you've ever seen the bumper sticker or sometimes people post it on social media. Not everybody who wanders is lost. Yes, they are. But it's even a worse type is if you want to be lost. That's even a worse type of loss. I remember the days of having to use a map that didn't have a little dot where it puts you on it. You had to figure that out yourself. Some of you will know what I'm talking about. And you actually had to navigate through the world of places you don't know, don't recognize, and trying to figure out which direction to go and how easy it was to get lost. But even in recognizing of like trying to find the right way, once we lost the path, it's like you just kind of go in directions hoping to stumble across it. But sometimes we don't even stop to recognize that we have wandered from the path. We are lost. And we don't even know how to get back to the path. And here, I would say, is the mystery of how the Lord comes and finds us. Because in the spiritual sense, the wandering is sin. And we can't just decide, oh, I'm going to forgive my own sins, and ta-da, I'm back on the path. But it's like, no, we need the Lord's mercy, his love, that he comes and finds us. He brings us home. And that is not something I can do for myself, but that we have the good shepherd who comes to seek the lost. And even the heart that might want to be lost, that he works on that heart to bring us home. Then there is this the hardening of the heart. Why do we harden our hearts so that we fear you not? How easy it is to just kind of harden ourselves to do the necessary things. I don't know how you enjoyed Thanksgiving, but I love my family. I like being around them, and I never want to do this Thanksgiving again. In that, it's just like how much you have to just kind of harden yourself to like, okay, we're going to make this happen. And I would say there's a gift that came in it, in that the simplicity of it. Certainly, like, have a large family, and the gathering together, and the opulence of the feast day, of this gathering together for Thanksgiving, that was not there. But then, like, how much you kind of having to navigate through questions and kind of hard conversations and making decisions, and is it going to be okay? And then finally getting there, and it's just like, okay, can I relax? Can I just be? And it's just like how much we can harden our hearts even to places where we know we don't want to be. And it's like, this is people I love. I want to be open, but to just be. And how do I fix this own hardening? How quickly I can recognize in the vulnerability that we get hurt. And the pulling back and the protecting ourselves and the putting up our walls. And aren't these all reasonable things to do because there's bad people out there and they will do bad things to you. And then in the state of our own imprisonment that we've made, how do we break out of it? That movement that softens our hearts again. That this season builds towards Christmas. When the Lord shows up. And in some ways, as he enters into his creation in the incarnation, but enters into us in this season, making his own presence felt to soften our hearts maybe once again from the inside out, the places that we need a Savior. I love this other image as Isaiah goes on. Would that you might meet us doing right. I was like, hey, maybe like I'll actually be doing something good when he showed up. But he really goes on to say, like, that's like, even in my desire to do good, if I might paraphrase, it's still not enough. Even my own work that I'm trying to do is not reaching this deep level, that place where I need the Lord to show up. And that we are like polluted rags. Just good for being thrown away. But the Lord comes and purifies. That this is a work that he does, and he has promised to do it. And so in this season, I think there is a unwanted gift that we're going to have. In that every year, it's always the constant combating of keeping the spirit of Christmas in this season. In that there's always the threat of commercialization, the lots of busyness, the running around, the being able to stop and just be attentive to the most important things. But if this past Thanksgiving has showed me anything, is that it's going to be a little bit easier this season. And like every Advent, we kind of start celebrating Christmas early. But I think this Advent's going to be a little bit different, and that we're going to have a little more space to be a penitential season. But directed towards what? I don't know if you recall or ever heard. There was a advertisement in Times Square a few years ago about keep the joy, but get rid of the myth. Talking about Christmas, of just like, well, let's get rid of these religious things, but just the celebration part of it. And in some ways, there's a slogan to combat that type of movement, which is to keep Christ in Christmas, right? And there's that kind of tension of that spiritual truth that we know is here, we know is important. But I'd like to give us a new phrase, and that is Christ is Christmas, that he is the source of our joy, that he is the one who shows up, and that there is lots of earthly celebrations and the goodness of things we can do in this season, but that in the simplicity that we might be going through, it is Christ who shows up, and he is the source of our joy, that he is the whole reason for everything. And letting him have that place first and foremost, and that we approach him in that state of recognizing our own need, being prepared to receive the Lord when he shows up. That there is always the proofs to remind us of just how much we need a Savior. He has come, he is here now, and he will continue to make himself present. But in the season, to allow ourselves to be vulnerable once again, to expect him to show up and to fulfill the promises that he has made.